I am currently in my last 12 days of a 67-day trip to Paris. I am in my Airbnb and low-key, high-key, very excited because my host is gone for the rest of the time I'm here. I was like had a private room inside of an Airbnb in the 20th Ardor in Paris. It has been lovely. I have been here writing my 7th book, a romance novel that has been renamed 3 different times. I don't know what I've settled on the name yet, but I do think the 3rd name is the name of the book and the 2nd name is the name of the movie that will inevitably make its way to Netflix as True Romance, where people will say, yes, 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 this is what romance is. This is how people fall in love. This is how people stay in love. And this is how we don't see the sad shit. But I want to start every episode with my co-star and pattern update because honestly, I think it is a far better insight on me than I could ever give. And hello, this show is all about the kid. Okay, so this week my pattern is telling me to ignite my power. Today, you might feel a strong urge to follow your impulses, which is why I'm like finally started recording this because I've been wanting to record a solo podcast. Right now and over the next 6 weeks, there is a shift that's encouraging you and others around you to act with intensity. It's a chance to let go of the old, master the new, and recharge your vitality. I feel those vibes for real because I'm about to be 29, y'all. Like, I just really feel that energy. I feel like I take my birthday seriously, but not necessarily like, oh, like extreme celebrations, but I mean, like, I take it seriously in the fact that, like, yo, I've made it a whole nother year, and my birthday is in January, so it's really close to the new year, so I always, you know, kind of make that my marker of good decision or not. And that even brings me to why I'm finally starting this podcast. I'm 12 days away from returning back to Chicago, and Chicago just full of so much familiarity for me. And I don't want to, you know, return to these not romantic, not creative, very boring men that I have been engaged with, you know, for way longer than I should be. Multiple of them, you know, I got a little team of sucky men. I cannot lie. And I don't want to return to Chicago and, like, you know, because I have this time or as an outlet, you know, reach out to them. I'm done with them, you know. Honestly, like, I've been shown the world, you know, and, like, no thank you. So, yeah, that's really why I'm, like, officially podcasting. I have had podcasts in the past. I had a solo podcast, but it just was, like, kind of hard to maintain. And you know what it is? It's because I wasn't talking about myself. So I'm so happy that, like, that's what this podcast is. Like, I really do want to work on my storytelling skills. I'm a writer. I've been saying that recently, but really I feel like I'm a poet, and poetry just is so beautiful. My poems just really, like, I don't know, it's all about word choice and, like, where I place the words. And I sometimes am hanging out in social settings, and when I get home, for some reason, I'm always like, did I tell that story right? Like, did I tell it good? I'm always wondering, like, how my oral storytelling skills are because, honestly, my poetry is, you know, it's a poem that's been revised and revised and revised and revised. And oftentimes my stories with my friends are just, you know, off the riff. So I really do want to work on my storytelling, and I want to retell my life. Like, I don't know, 29 certainly is not old, but it is, you know, starting to be this beginning of a new era for me. Like, I'm all about eras. I change and rebrand a lot, but something about, like, 30 is, like, a real rebrand, just in the sense of, like, things I want and need, because I can eloquently say what I want and need, and that's something I wasn't able to do when I was 18, 10 years ago, or when I was 19. So I'm just honoring myself. And yes, I'm podcasting now. I'm back in the podcast biz. I am such a Capricorn. And, like, honestly, I want, like, other podcasts. So if you're a friend of mine who wants the podcast, honey, please podcast with me. I've probably asked you to already because I'm ridiculous, but I do love podcasting and I do think having a host is fun, but like this solo show all about me and me telling stories about my life, and reading my co-star and pattern updates and talking about my favorite things of the week. I'm excited because I like to chat about me and I'm just like chatting about myself. So this week, my co-star is saying, you are the eye of the storm. And I have power in routine, sexuality, spirituality, social life, and sex and love, pressure in self, trouble with thinking and creativity. And okay, so my sun in Capricorn is in the 8th house, meaning I feel the need to distinguish myself from others through darkness, taboo, rebirth, sex, and transformation. Just some random little tiddly-dilly updates. I want to start this first episode off really talking about my time in Petty. I have been having the time of my life. Honestly, that's so ridiculous. But I like solo traveling, but I also really, 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 really enjoy companionship. So it's a bittersweet thing. Okay, I got here on September 6th. And I was originally staying, my first Airbnb was booked only for 4 or 5 days, I can't remember, and then I was set to stay the rest of my time in the Airbnb that I'm in now. And it just, whenever I booked, something happened and like the first 5 days weren't available, and I just prefer to book somewhere that I like, you know, had a reservation than to like try and figure it out with this current spot. So actually I stayed with a nice older Black woman. I actually don't know where she was from, and on her Airbnb review when I left, she said, great smile, cheerful person, but like we barely spoke, and we didn't, because I was in shock. I had always wanted to come to Paris. It was always like, yes, a Black writer's rite of passage, and Maya Angelou had did it, and James Baldwin, and Langston Hughes, and like it only made sense to me that I would like go to Paris, and in fact, this had been a dream of mine since I was in grad school when I was earning my Master's of Fine Arts in Writing. My plan post-graduation was always to go to Paris. I think it was a 3-month situation. I think I have always heard the whole, you know, you don't need a visa with your American passport for 3 months. So 3 months was always this time frame I was throwing around. And when I was going to graduate grad school, I had this stipend from City Year, an education grant that basically, got refunded to me because I had enough other funding to pay for like my actual school, that $5,000 was like coming to me outright. And things happened, you know, I didn't want a job, I had bills, and I kind of just like lived off that $5,000 instead of like making that trip to Paris. And that was in May 2018, and I kind of had just been living and working and being in Chicago. And I want to say, I don't know, as early as like March 2020, I want to say, I don't know, sometime at least a year before I actually came to Paris, I was just really talking about like, oh, like when my lease ends, I'm going to Paris. So it had to be like after I re-signed my lease in, I don't know, time is all a social construct, y'all. But I re-signed, I was in my lease for a year in a lovely apartment in Bronzeville with some roomies. And at the end of the lease, I re-signed with the intent of when this lease ends, I'm going to go to Paris. And finish writing a book. Because I've actually been like, you know, the idea working on this book for a while. And it was like, I'm going to finish it in Paris. So my lease ends. And the way the universe works, I actually ended up getting this fellowship that, yes, I applied to knowing that the dates kind of interfere with my Paris trip. But I hadn't purchased my ticket yet. because COVID came and I wasn't, you know, completely sure about like what I'd be able to do or whatever. So I get this internship. That was my G-Shock, y'all. I reset it and I did something, and now it doesn't like make a crazy alarm sound at a certain time, but now it beeps every hour. Like, oh my God, I gotta figure it out. It's such a cute watch, but it has really been tormenting me with the alarms and the beeps. So anyway, I get this fellowship, so I end up having to like stay in Chicago an extra month or whatever. So I get here in September, when I was always supposed to get here in August. I get here in September, and when I'm finally here, you know, I don't, it's so hard to explain sometimes this thing that I feel about safety. Like, okay, when I got on the plane at O'Hare, hugged my dad goodbye, you know, talked with the person, my bag was 5 pounds over. I, of course, knew and assumed and felt that I would make it to my Airbnb safely, you know, at the end of my flight, at the end of my Uber ride. But when I actually make it to my Airbnb and I am safe, I don't know. There's just something that is just so, every time I travel, actually, every time I get off a plane, I just feel like I know I'm going to get there safely. But like when I actually am, I don't know. There's like this real fondness and appreciation for life I always have. When I make it to a destination, and specifically like a big travel like this, and like I actually landed in Paris at like 10 p.m. and I called my Airbnb using, you know, airport Wi-Fi. I kind of followed this large crowd to, they were like following signs that said taxi. The whole time I'm walking, my heart of hearts knew that I wasn't, you know, supposed to be going to taxi. Like, I'm more of a rideshare girl, you know, looking for Uber. But I don't know. I ended up out by the taxis, and I'm, like, using the Wi-Fi. I'm calling the Uber because most times when I'm at an airport, I'm able to, like, you know, choose a location. So I went to, like, put in an Uber request and kind of, like, see where they're telling me to go. So they were telling me I needed to go to either like B or C. I can't remember. This was a few weeks ago, y'all. But anywho, I like go back into the airport. It's really late at night. I'm trying to find this specific thing. And then all of a sudden, like I'm like seeing just sortie signs, which means exit. And I don't know, something about sometimes like when I'm, what I've learned on this trip is like, I just like kind of like be knowing stuff. So I kind of just like trusted the vibes, and I started walking towards this exit sign. And then I saw like whatever it was, either they wanted B or C. I saw the signs pointing there, but it would be like, okay, A. And then if I needed B, it just skipped right to C. It was just something weird about like, I could not find where this exact spot is. So I would just call the Uber anyway. It wants to go to B. I, you know, tell them I'm at A. Or I call it to B, but I'm actually standing in front of A using the Wi-Fi. So, like, it took, like, maybe, like, 10 minutes for them to get there. And then all of a sudden, my Uber is there. And I can, you know how the Uber map, you're a little tiny dot, and then the car is a tiny dot. So I can see that they're, like, parked somewhere and have been parked for some time. I guess, you know, in the B location, I couldn't see. So I kind of just, like, start walking, but when I start walking, of course I lose Wi-Fi. I keep walking. I had a screenshot of like the car and the license number. I get over to like this like other location, like just literally I just had to walk straight like maybe 3 or 5 minutes, and I saw the license plate, I saw the number, whatever. I get in the car, nice person, super late, you know, he helps me with my suitcase. We're driving. All of a sudden, he's like, oh, actually, this expressway is, well, you know, he actually had to put it into his Google Translate, telling me that the expressway was closed and, like, we're taking this, like, dark route or whatever. Whatever. I flew to Charles de Gaulle, and, like, I knew already that, like, my Airbnb was, like, I think 40 minutes away, 47 minutes away. So I don't have international Wi-Fi. I actually didn't figure that out until maybe, like, 2-3 weeks into my trip. So I'm just, like, I'm just hoping for my safety, honey. Like, what else can I do? I'm just in this back of this Uber. praying for my safety. So I make it to my first Airbnb and the elevator is super small. It only goes to the third floor. I have to like carry my 55-pound bag up two flights of stairs and I make it in. Cute little old lady. She greets me. My room is actually like upstairs in like a skinny little stairway. She offers to help me with my bag, but I'm like, I got it. It's like 12 o'clock at this time. So it was actually still hot at this point because it's September 6th. Go to sleep, wake up the next day, honestly, at like 4 p.m. Like the jet lag had kicked my ass. The 7-hour time difference is different. So I put on a cute little fit and I went over to a cafe because it had a sign that said €5.50 margaritas. And I was there, or mojitos, and I was very, 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 very interested in that. So I sat there and I ordered myself a pizza, and I actually just was like taking pictures of myself. And there was no Wi-Fi, I don't believe. So I was just like enjoying myself. And then all of a sudden, this very fine man walks up, and he's just like kind of minding his business, I'm minding my business. I drink my mojito, I eat like two slices of my pizza, get the rest to go, pay my bill. I'm peacing out. And all of a sudden, buddy, who I'm telling you, I was there for at least like an hour. And that should have told me, y'all, the fact that that man sat there and looked at me for an hour before he chased me across the street. But anywho, he chases me. He tells me he doesn't speak that good English, but like we should hang out tonight. And I'm just like, you know, that's cool. It's probably like, I don't know, 5 p.m. at this point. I had already planned to go to the Eiffel Tower because that's like my favorite thing to do. So I'm like, cool. Give him my Instagram. We're like talking on Instagram. He's like, I'll probably be there about like 9:30, 10, because he also was bringing me some weed. That's the conversation we ended up having on the Instagram about like, oh, what a connect that. He's like, he don't smoke, but he give me the weed. So I'm like, cool. 9:30, 10 sounds good for me. So I go back to my Airbnb, put my pizza in the fridge, and peace back out, honey. Well, actually, I took some screenshots of the directions to walk to the Eiffel Tower from my Airbnb. It was like a hour, 6-minute walk. But I was down for the cause because that's just the kind of girl I am. So I'm walking, and like literally within like 10 minutes, I run into the Louvre, and I'm like, oh shit, like I knew that my first Airbnb was like, you know, kind of in a touristy spot, but I didn't realize I was like that close to the Louvre. So once I see the Louvre, you can see the Eiffel Tower you can see it far off, but like that's kind of my thing. Like once I see the Eiffel Tower, I know how to get there. You just follow it there. So I'm like, oh shit, like I'm really finna make it, because the reality is I left the house really on a mission. I didn't know that I was gonna actually make it to the Eiffel Tower with them damn screenshots. I just be doing shit, y'all. And sometimes it work out and I'd be real happy about that. So I walk through the Louvre. There's like a cute little pathway. There's people kissing and enjoying the fountain and just cute. So I'm walking. And actually, it really did. Like it took me 10 minutes to get to the Louvre, but yeah, it was still an hour to get to the Eiffel Tower, even though I can see it. So I finally get over there. I use my tripod and I'm like taking some pictures of myself, just like, you know, truly enjoying myself. But oh, before I went to the Eiffel Tower, I remember that was the, oh yeah, cause I didn't do it. Oh, they did at the cafe and at the Eiffel Tower. They like insisted that they see my like, they call it like a health passport, because like the Parisians, like, okay, so when they got vaccinated, I think they have a card too, but they also got like this online QV code specifically for them that they like show at restaurants that gets, it gets checked or whatever at the restaurants. And they did the same thing at the Eiffel Tower. But as an American, I am just showing my CDC vaccination card, whatever, to go into all these places. So I take my pictures, whatever, have fun at the Eiffel Tower. And then I'm like, okay, like let me head back, because it took like an hour to get here. I'm hanging out with old boy, and there actually is Wi-Fi at the Eiffel Tower. So buddy had like hit me and been like, yeah, still good for 9:30, I got your weed, whatever. So I don't know what time it is, but I'm walking back, and when I get to where the Eiffel Tower or the Louvre was, because basically like I it's basically just a straight line from after you get through the Louvre. And I was just like, okay, I'm just gonna go back through there. Honey, I was not anticipating the fact that the Louvre would be closed. So now, like, the gates are locked and I gotta go around it. So I'm like, okay, this should be easy enough because, you know, I entered through the Louvre. But the problem is, okay, so I walk around to the gate to, like, okay, these are the possible exits for the Louvre. And I went down one of those streets, honey. I did not go down the right street. When I finally found a Starbucks to, so I'm walking, and I'm like, don't none of this shit look familiar, oh shit, luckily, I'm walking, and it felt great outside. I finally find a Starbucks. It was closed, but I was able to still use the Wi-Fi from outside. When I was able to do that, I was actually only 11 minutes from my Airbnb, again, because the Louvre was only 10 minutes from my Airbnb in the first place. So I just went some wrong way or whatever. So I used the Wi-Fi and, like, press go on the thing to get back to my Airbnb. I finally get back, honey. I am sweating and gross. And I think it is like 10:30 at this point when we're supposed to meet up at 9:30, 10. So I had some messages from old dude. What is his name? Steven, I want to say. Or just Steve. When I get back to the Airbnb, I get messages from him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, my bad. I got lost. Because basically what happened is you can see the Eiffel Tower in the, like, you know, in the horizon. But I couldn't, like, there was no way to see my Airbnb going back. And the route that I thought I would just repeat was closed because the Louvre had closed and there was like a lone garden I walked through. And I think that's what happened. I did not account for that lone garden and kind of just turned right into a neighborhood opposed to, like, you know, walking down a little bit more. But I finally get to my Airbnb. He's like, cool, I'm actually like 15 minutes away. So now I'm just like, okay, here you go, girl. Your first fucking day in the city and you are about to go hang out with nigga who actually don't even speak good English. Although, you know, we were able to communicate very well on Instagram, but I'm most certain in retrospect, he just like Google translating his thoughts. So anywho, remind you, both my Airbnbs were like a private room. So like, so there's a Parisian staying there and I just had my own space. So I had never fully intended for him to come upstairs. And when he got there, he was like, oh yeah, I got Jack Daniels and Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. He had my weed and he was also saying how he had a hookah and he was like, let's do it in your room. And I was like, well, my room says no smoking in the first place. And I'm just not trying to do hookah in this lady's house. It's like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Like, I just wasn't really feeling that option. And he was like, well, where are you planning to smoke your weed? I'm like, outside. And he was like, oh, okay. He was like, but it's windows. And I'm like, yeah, but I just wasn't trying to smoke hookah in his place, especially not a portable hookah. I don't know. Just something about the optics was wild to me. So he's like, okay, cool. Actually, we got to go somewhere to get you papers for your weed. But actually, like, so he wrote, so as soon as he pulled up, honey, we are talking with Google Translate. He got Google Translate and I got Google Translate. And it's working because you can actually, like, download the offline version of French or whatever. So we're chatting. And he was saying, like, oh, we need papers. So he's like, just get in the car. So here I am right now. I wrote in my Google Translate. I said, I am very important in America. People love me a whole lot. If something happens to me, they will find you. And I get in the car. He kind of just, like, giggles. And I'm just like, oh, I want to say, had Drake just dropped, I'm so embarrassed. But I think so. And, like, he had Way Too Sexy playing. And, like, so he turned. So I say that he turns the car on, Way Too Sexy starts playing. And I'm kind of just like, shit, again, like, I got this extreme main character syndrome. And I'm just like, this is, you know, it's my first night in Paris. I got weed. I've got this cute guy. He don't speak English. But, like, you know, he's finna, like, show me around type shit. So I'm like, fuck it. Yep, I got in the fucking car with this stranger ass French man that I met after him staring at me for an hour at a cafe. And we drove down to like basically where the Arc de Triomphe is. Like we passed like that Dior store and stuff. So we parked the car, I guess because it was probably so late. We parked the car and we go to this place called Tabac, and like they're like all over the city. It's like I don't want to say they're like bodegas and corner stores, but I guess technically the most bodega corner story thing you're gonna get in Paris, because like that's where you get like cigarettes, papers, lighters, little things like that from. So we go to one, and like the whole time actually he were like writing inside the thing, he was saying cigarettes. So I'm thinking he smokes cigarettes, because I don't smoke cigarettes. I'm just, needing paper for my weed, honey. So we get to the counter. It's actually like a little line. We finally get to the counter, and he's like speaking in French, and he gets the cigarettes, only a box of cigarettes. And he's like, "Oh, we're ready." And I was like, I pull out my Google Translate, and I was like, "What about papers?" And I kind of like do my fingers in the motion of like rolling up weed in a blunt. And he's like, "Papers." And I started trying to like talk to the man at the cash register, because of course he doesn't speak English either. Or the problem is I don't speak French. That's how I like to phrase it. I don't speak French. So I'm kind of like doing the like, doing my fingers to imitate like papers, and he shows me something that's close, but I'm like, yeah, no, not that, some knows. And then he picks up another thing, and I was like, perfect. But it was like one of those, like, they're short and fat. And I was like, is there a longer one? So he shows me like the long skinny one or whatever. So I'm like, perfect, good. So then we're checking out, and then I'm like, I put in my Google Translate. I said, "Do you smoke cigarettes?" And he said, "No." I said, "Me either." And he was like, "Whoa, okay." So then he like returns the cigarettes. The man gives us back money. You can tell he's a little annoyed, but whatever. Oh, and then we also got a lighter, but now I have a lighter and my weed and no cigarettes. I don't know, shit be getting lost in translation when you don't speak the same language. So we are walking back to the car, and we like kind of turn the corner, and oh my God, y'all, we see these young kids on the goddamn bench juicing on balloons. I know that ain't the right way to say it, but that is it. To this day, is the wildest thing I have seen in this city. So kids are just kind of like dead ass sucking the helium out of balloons on a bench, like they turning up, like they drinking a motherfucking 40 or some shit. So I'm just like, okay. So buddy old pal walks up to them, has some type of chit chat. Because I know chit chat, I know that he's trying to like find out where the balloon juice at. So they direct him or whatever. I walk on over with him. We pick up these two guys. They lead us over to a car, but we're still on the main road. And again, it's just like, I don't know why I feel so safe, but I feel so safe. So literally, they're like over there doing their balloon deal. And I'm like taking selfies of myself with my phone propped up against something, because it's a lot of light outside or whatever. But he returns. He got his balloon pump with his balloon attachments. I got my papers, I got the weed, we got the Jack Daniels and a hookah in the car. So we get back to the car, and he's like, I don't know, I forget. Basically, we're trying to figure out like, should we try and find somewhere outside to smoke the hookah? Like, what's the best bet? He was trying to smoke that hookah, baby. He was giving Atlanta vibes. Like, he's very much Atlanta dude, because he really wanted to smoke that damn hookah. And I had the weed, so I was like, it's whatever, like we can walk and drink the Jack Daniels. But he was like, "What are we gonna smoke this hookah at, Lil Mama?" So we get back in the car, and he starts prepping the hookah. He got like water bottle, he got a little container to like mix the shisha in. He is using the lighter we got for my weed to light the coal. We are prepping this motherfucking hookah to smoke it inside this motherfucking car. Oh, also, I had bought a bottle of rosé, so I was drinking that before we got to the Jack Daniels. So I'm drinking my rosé, rolling my weed, and I had like got out to the and went to like his side of the door to like smoke my weed while he was like still, get like hookah was prepped, but you gotta, I don't know, wait for it or whatever. So he starts smoking hookah. I start smoking my weed, and he like passes. I finished the weed, and he passed me the hookah. Honey, I clean pull that thing. It was like on the floor in the car. I like pulled it too hard, spilled all the water, fucked it up. First hit. So he's like, Buddy wants this damn hookah. So he literally actually like fixes the hookah, and like the hookah's back in game. We are chatting again using Google Translate. Now he has made us mixed drinks of the Jack Daniels. And let me be honest, it was a fun time. Honestly, like that was my first night in Paris. We did not speak each other's language, but like we big vibed, and he got me some good weed. We smoked hookah. Once I finished my weed, we actually like got in the back seat of the car, smoked the hookah, and we're just like Google Translate talking. And he was like really into like Pop Smoke music, and I'm like, do you know what he's saying? He had no clue, but he could say the words. But then like we later find out that he lives in Belgium actually, and just was like in town working. And like when I got home that night, he walked me up to my Airbnb and kissed me goodnight. And I'm like, okay, bye. Thank you so much. But then I like kind of like creep his Instagram, and buddy, old boy got a baby, a mixed baby. And I was just like, boy, I'm just not interested. So he started writing me, and I kind of just like wasn't responding on Instagram. And then I was just like, okay, let me just like be straightforward. And I was just like, yo, with the language barrier, and you know, you don't even live in the city, I appreciate you a lot, but like, no thank you. Because like all night he kept being like, I like you so much, I like you so much, like on the Google Translate. And I'm like, you know, maybe that he just talked about my aura, my vibes, but I just wasn't feeling the vibe. Something wasn't clicking for me. So I told him, no thank you, buddy. Like, I had fun, I really did. That was a great first night in the city, I'm grateful, but I don't wish to continue to communicate. Because that was the thing, he was supposed to be, he was going out of town the next morning back to Belgium and would be back that weekend and wanted to connect, but I was just not interested. So that's like, right, one of the fun highlights. And then I remember, actually, I ended up running out of that weed. I don't even know how much it was, but I ran out of that weed. I kind of was just like big vibe and relaxing. And I had took another trip to the Eiffel Tower because I love going to Eiffel Tower. I know it's a very touristy thing to do, but like, I just really love going over there, and like, it's easy to get to, and there's Wi-Fi over there, and I like going, so I go a lot. So I went, and I actually brought a blanket this time and like sat on this like cool little field area that a lot of people sit on. I'm sitting over there. I'm on FaceTime, chit-chatting. It's cute outside. It's lovely. I hang up FaceTime. And before I hung up FaceTime, I was like, it's this man staring at me. And I feel like I know he finna try it. So I hang up. Buddy walks over. And he's like, hey, you're American. And I was like, bonjour. And he was like, why are you speaking in French to me? I just heard you speaking in English. And I'm like, well, we are in Paris. And he's like, yeah, where are you from? I'm like, Chicago. He's like, oh, I'm visiting from New York. I'm on this 10-day, 5-country trip. I'm like, cool, super cool. He's like, can I sit down with you? I'm like, sure. So I let him sit. And then we're like chit-chatting. And I forget what exactly the conversation was, but it was something like, oh, like, what do you do for fun in Paris? And I'm like, mainly just like eat and drink. I'm like writing a book, whatever. And he's like, oh, do you want to like go grab some wine with me? And I was like, whoa, I just actually came back from like, you know, having some wine and some food. That's why I'm here relaxing at the Eiffel Tower now. And he's like, oh, come with me. We can, you know, you could just get some wine. And of course, we're not going to say no to that. So we walk around to like where I just came from, like, you know, it's a cute little 10-minute walk from Eiffel Tower, all these cafes. So I get myself a glass of a Chardonnay, and he gets, I don't know, like a brown drink, whatever. They break it out. We're talking. And he's like, yeah, you know, with work, it's hard for me to travel. Like, I'm still kind of like working, even though I'm traveling, everything is work. And I'm like, oh, okay. Drinking my champagne. And I don't know how, but some way, somehow, weed comes up. Because, honestly, weed always gonna come up. And he was like, oh, actually, like, I mean, I don't smoke, but the friend that I'm staying with on this leg of my trip knows someone. I can hook that up for us. So I'm like, cool. That's cool. So he's, like, doing his texting. He has a wireless Wi-Fi that I had never seen before, actually, which is pretty cool. So he figures this out, whatever. He's like, oh, do you want another drink? Because I'm going to order some food. So he orders some food. I get another glass of wine. We're chatting. He's like, okay, the Uber is going to be here in like 12 minutes. And I'm like, okay, what's the game plan? He's like, oh, we're going to go get this weed from my friend's friend at this barbershop. So I'm like, cool. We get in the Uber. He shows me the phone. He's like, oh, it's 48 minutes away. I'm just like, here we go again. Like, I don't feel unsafe in the moment. Because if I did, I wouldn't do it. But as a young woman on a trip by herself in a city where she does not speak the language, I understand how, hopping in the car, after two glasses of wine with this dude I literally just met at the Eiffel Tower in pursuit of some weed is crazy. It really is. I get it. But I'm safe. I'm living now. And that's how I'm telling the story. So we get to this barbershop. And I have to say that Parisians are just like super serious about the fact that like, weed is illegal. So like they don't play that shit. Like it's not like a very casual thing. Like it's very hush hush and serious. And like, I ain't got that shit on me here. We got to go somewhere else. So that's basically what happens. We get there and buddy is like, hey, actually the weed is at my apartment. So we got to take a bus and a train to my spot for me to go get it. And New York dude looks at me and I'm like, well, we've already traveled fucking 48 minutes, so we might as well complete the goddamn mission. So there's like the owner of the shop and the actual weed man, and then me and Mr. New York. So we all leave out, we lock the shop up, we walk over to the bus, we get on, and by this point I had actually known. So the thing is, the bus is technically free. And what I mean is, there's this thing called a city pass that most people have, and you load it for a month. And in the case that you have a city pass that has a month pass on it, you don't have to pay for the bus. It's free. So because of that, mainly nobody taps to get on the bus. So when you get on the bus and you yourself don't tap or you don't put in a ticket, no one's ever going to question you, because the grand assumption is that like you have a city pass, which is why most people don't tap to get on the bus. So we get on the bus, it's free. We get to the train station and it's not the Metra, which is like the city trains. I don't know if it was the RER, but it definitely wasn't the Metra. So I'm already knowing like, honey, we is not in the fucking cities. So we get on the train. The owner of the barbershop goes one way when we finally get into the train, because we actually like snuck in behind him. We like walk, me and Mr. New York walk closely behind the train or the bus or the barbershop owner. He goes another way. Me and Mr. New York and the weed man get on the train. We ride maybe like three stops. We get off and actually, the weed man did speak English. So we get off the train and he's like, okay, y'all wait here, I'll be back. So me and Mr. New York are just like standing outside. We are kind of just like, okay, how are we gonna get home? Do you want me to call you an Uber back to your Airbnb, back to the Eiffel Tower? Are you gonna take the train? And I'm like, I don't know. My phone is actually on like 19% at this point, and my portable charger is down to like the last like little light blinking. So I'm like, I don't know. And we'll get the weed. We're going to figure it out. We wait about 20 minutes. And I'm like, yo, it's very possible that buddy just like took the money. So maybe, let's see what them Uber sitting on, whatever. So luckily, buddy ends up coming or whatever. As we are trying to call Ubers, Mr. New York's little portable Wi-Fi has died. It has been the saving grace all day, but the Wi-Fi is officially dead, which means he has no data. By this point, I had learned about international data and I had been buying it. So I think I had maybe like $6 credit worth of data on my phone. So I'm just like, let me check how to get home. I kind of like put in my phone and I could see that this train will take me back to the Metra eventually. So I'm just like, I can give you hotspot so you can call your Uber to your friend's house and then I'm gonna take the train. And he's like, you can come back to my friend, because he didn't have Wi-Fi, my phone was dying. He's like, you come back to my friend's house, charge your phone, and I can call you an Uber from there with the Wi-Fi. And I'm like, I don't know where your friend lives. It's bad enough I even came all the way here with you. I rather just get on this train if it's telling me it's going to get me back to the metro, because basically once I get on the metro, I know how to get back to anywhere in the world, honey. So he uses the hotspot and calls the Uber, and kind of, I think it's maybe like 8 minutes away, and he's just like, oh yeah, I just want to make sure it's cool. And I'm like, well, my phone is on 19%, so as long as that thing say booked, I'm turning my hotspot off and I'm getting back on the train and figuring my shit out. So luckily, again, I have lived to tell the story. I get on the train, I read the map, I switch over to the 13, I take the 13, and then I get on the 3. So I was able to safely get myself back home. But again, I'm just like, girlfriend, crazy things you do for weed, because I ended up two stops away from the airport, which is a 47-minute drive. Oh, let me not forget, I had ate some chicken and french fries from a restaurant with a glass of wine, two glasses of wine with Mr. New York, and about a 3-hour combined, journey. By the time I got off the fucking train, I was so, I don't know, dizzy with stress, with anxiety, and actually I hadn't had enough food to counter the amount of wine I had in that day. Soon as I emerged from under the fucking subway, I projectile vomit onto, I luckily got off the stairs in time, and I turn around, and I'm inside there's this little roundabout thing on my street. And I throw a projectile all over there. I have these long ass braids and it literally gets all in my hair. And I'm just oh my fucking God, I just need to get home. So as soon as I get back to my Airbnb, I literally just took a shower, wet my hair, cleaned it with fucking body wash and put it in a bun and went to sleep, because I just failed. I didn't even smoke my weed that night. I did all that for weed. And I just was like, girl, this is one of them times where you just try again tomorrow, because the projectile vomit into the braids was just this is the lowest of the low, girlfriend. So that was that story. And then, okay, my other favorite story, I've been here for so long, so there's lots of things that happen, but other than random, I'm going on a little smoke and then I'm going to go to the grocery store, but I ended up in some crazy neighborhood. I saw some cool parks. But my honestly favorite part about Paris is my little boo I got here. I hate to be that person, be all lovey-dovey, but okay. I'm talking about our first day ever. So we actually matched on Hinge. And getting on Hinge is actually kind of what saved my trip, because before I was on Hinge, I was finna go home. I was this is cute and all, and I don't think I need 67 days nowhere. And now my trip's ending and I wish I was staying longer. But I got on Hinge because I was girl, you are not gonna thrive, just being in your Airbnb, walking around by yourself and scared to go to restaurants because you don't speak French and you can't order. So I get on Hinge, and actually he's one of my first Hinge matches, and actually the first person I met up with from Hinge in Paris. So we're chatting. I'm talking about how, I like to eat or whatever, and please give me some recommendations. And he tells me this place, La Walefe. And I was like, oh, cute, I'm gonna pull up there. He's like, let's go together. And that's just my love language. So that's probably Tuesday, and we got plans to meet on Friday or Saturday. I can't remember what day it is. So we pull up, and actually, I Ubered. Back then, I was still Ubering. It's been an evolution. I was still Ubering. I kind of understood the train, but I just wasn't always trying to risk it at certain times, whatever. We were meeting up at 9 o'clock probably. So I Ubered there and I made it first. And then he got there very shortly after, because at this point, again, I had realized, or it was on this date I had realized that I had been paying for international data. I can't remember. Anywho, he pulls up and I'm like, yes, cutie with a booty. Not a booty, but I was just very excited that I enjoyed the way he looked. And we go sit down, and instantly I'm just like, oh, I just really enjoyed his voice, because I had been speaking to French people. I don't know. I just really enjoyed his voice, his accent with English. And he seem to understand me because I know I talk really fast and I'm passionate, but like he was like keeping up and like it was just a great time. So I ordered rum and boisson, is that what it's called? Am I lying? Rum and a very famous Sinhalese drink. I'm terrible. But I had never, BSAP. I had never had it with alcohol. I always just had it like as a juice. So I got rum and BSAP and I got Yasa Poyet and some Chibujin. And I forget what he got, but we were like eating. And I'm like recording myself because your girl loves content. And then he's like trying to like teach me to say some things in French, but it was just, the vibes was big O there. And I was just cheesing. It was just a good time. I took a cute picture before we left and we left out and I kind of didn't know what we were doing, but I was just walking. He's like, want to go grab a drink? And I'm like, yeah. So then we like go and try and stand inside this one line that was like right down the street from the restaurant. And some French girl says something to him and he's like, oh, okay. And then like, I was like, what happened? And he was like, oh, it's a school party. You need a school ID and a ticket. And I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, I know this other place, but we got to take the train. And I was like, oh, that's exciting. Like, I haven't taken the train yet. Like, let's do it. So we get down to the subway. And I, like, have been to Paris before, so I know how to, like, buy a ticket, whatever. So I'm like, oh, I got to get a ticket. And he's like, oh, no worry, I got one. So he pulls out a ticket for me. And then he has his city pass, like, venture card type thing, taps it, and then I put my ticket in, I come out, and we get on the train, we ride it for a few stops, and then we get off, and then we, like, walk over to this, like, Irish pub, and I can't remember why exactly, but, like, we had been talking about Hennessy and the fact that, like, it's made in France, and he's just, like, was super interested in getting me some Hennessy. So we get to the bar and he's like, oh, he like asks the bar driver or the bartender if he had Hennessy. And I start speaking in English and then the bartender starts speaking in English. And I was just like, oh, it's okay. Like, you don't gotta speak French. He's like, oh no, like I'm American. I'm just like living here. So we're speaking in French. He orders Hennessy and I ordered me like a frozen daiquiri or something because I saw the daiquiri machine or something and I was like, oh, I'm interested in that. So we enjoy our drinks at the Irish pub and then he's like, oh, do you want to go somewhere else? And I'm just like, yeah. One thing about me, I love a date that lasts all night. So we walk down a little bit further and we end up at this place called O'Sullivan's and it's like a club basically, but like they are playing 2009 American music and like French music, but like everybody just lit and everybody's dancing. It's like, I don't know, maybe like 1 a.m. at this point and the club don't close till 5. So we drank more there. I think I had like Hennessy, like a shot of Hennessy or just like a, I don't know, I can't remember, some brown drink I had there. We're just drinking, we're dancing, I'm like taking videos on my phone. We kissed and we're just like having fun, hun. So maybe it's like 2:30, 3 o'clock now, and I'm like heading out and he's like, oh, like, so do you want me to call you an Uber to your Airbnb or I propose you come back to my place? I was like, I just met you on Hinge. I don't know how safe that will be. And he's like, I understand, but like, yeah, you totally can come over. I can call you an Airbnb or an Uber back to Airbnb. And I was like, I guess I'm gonna come with you. So he literally calls it an Uber. We are heading back to his house now. And we finally get there. And honestly, honey, it was just like, ooh, I am impressed because, okay, my Airbnb is cute and it's nice, but you could tell it's an older Parisian apartment. So I've been to, well, like 4 Parisian apartments and it's generally the older ones. Like, so the bathroom is like the sink and the bathtub. The toilet is its own separate entity. And that's kind of how you could tell how old an apartment is. But I went into his spot and he got like, you know, his fridge looked like it's one of the cabinets on the, you know, it just looks like a cabinet and stainless steel stove and the toilet and the bathroom is all just one room. It's just like, you know, cute, very like modern, but still very bachelor patty. And I was like, I'm feeling the vibes. And actually in the Uber ride there, he was saying how he had like a spliff that he had been smoking earlier that day. So also was the promise of weed because, yeah, this is actually before meeting Eiffel Tower guy. I kind of told that out of order. But we get back to his place. We smoke some weed. And it was just such a good night, honestly. And honestly, okay, and still, that was what, like, my second or third week here. We're still hanging out. That's still my little baby. Like, my favorite things about him are literally that he, like, cooks so good. And not only, okay, so I appreciate the care. And sometimes I'm just like, am I, you know, not... Is it okay to, like, you know, reap all this benefit and care and, you know, not pour back? But I think this man truly just genuinely wants to do that. So a perfect example is I stayed the night over there a few nights ago and I like slept in because we were like up late, I don't know, watching TV or something. And I was still in bed when he like came in, was like, oh, I need to like leave out for a training. I'll be back in an hour. So I'm like, cool. I get up maybe like 20 minutes later and like I go in the kitchen and like he had cooked a really good like chicken dish the night before, so they're like dishes. So I like wipe, I'm cleaning up the kitchen, and then I saw like a mango cut, you know, like, you know, cut the half and slice it on a towel, on a paper towel, like over in the kitchen area. So I'm like cleaning, and I finish, and maybe like 20 minutes later, he gets back and he's like, oh, I cut this mango up for you. And I kind of like assumed it was for me when I was cleaning, but I didn't eat it because it was like, this man is just like so kind. And it's just like, if this man cut a mango and like had to leave out, I don't want to eat the mango. And I also didn't want to like text him about a mango. But that was like most recently. And I remember like I was over there like 2 weeks ago because I actually do a lot of writing over there because I can smoke inside the house. But I was over there and I didn't want to get up. I was just tired, and he actually was working from home that morning, so he was up early. So it's maybe like 12:30 in the afternoon, and he just like comes in the room with a smoothie and, you know, gives it to me and like leaves back out. And I just have never, sometimes I sound like a bird when I'm talking about what I appreciate from him, but I just have never had that type of like care and consideration. And it mainly is around food and caring for me, but that's like important to me. And I really like him, and I am leaving. I like literally leave on the 12th, and we haven't had lots of conversations about like continuing communication. We follow each other on Instagram and stuff, but the 7-hour time difference is crazy. But he also thinks I'm funny. And I think, I don't know, my humor translating into like, because not only like we definitely like, he speaks French, grew up, you know, in Benin, but went to school in France and has been in Paris. And like, for my humor to translate through that, like, I don't know, that's just like really cool and important to me. I think he like sees my spirit, because otherwise I remember one time I said bang for your buck, and he thought I was like talking about like prostitute. So a lot gets lost in translation just with words, and we still like connect so much. And I don't know. I think that my love language is food, and I really appreciate, like, every time I go over his house, it's a very intentional, like, did you eat? And that's not just a question, because if you didn't, I actually cooked for you, or, like, I ordered you something on Uber Eats. And I don't know. That's just, like, really special. And that's another reason why, like, what would be the point of returning to, like, I've been in situations where, you know, I get to someone's house at, like, 11 p.m., and we wake up, it's 2 p.m. the next morning, and I haven't even been offered a damn glass of juice. So I don't know. I feel like this was a very intentional reminder of that. Like, you don't have to be the person that, like, you know, labors in the kitchen and, like, does all these, like, sweet and sentimental things. Because, like, I've been over there so many times, and I think I've washed dishes twice, and only because, you know, he left out and they were there, opposed to like, oh, I felt that I need to do this thing because he cooked or he did this. And I don't know. I wonder if I sound selfish. I wonder exactly what is happening, but I appreciate this man so much. And it's been like, you know, less than 60 days. And I've just like my whole perspective on like what I deserve and like what a partnership can look like has shifted a lot. And shout out to French Boo. Shout out to Hinge. And shout out to him always reassuring me. Actually, like literally a few days ago, we rarely ever plan in advance me coming over. I don't know if that makes sense, but this one day randomly he was saying, oh, come over tomorrow or whatever. That was like a conversation we had the day before. It's like, come over tomorrow. So tomorrow had come, and like I go on these like walks sometimes. And mainly it'd be like, oh, I'm supposed to be going to the grocery store, but then I smoked and then I ended up walking like freaking an hour and a half away and turning back around. So I had done that. And when I got back, I feel like I can't remember, but like I hadn't texted him or whatever. He texts me. He says like, he's like, hey, he's like, oh, I still want you to come over today. And I know that sounds so bird for me to be so like, ah, but I have been in situations where like, okay, we had a conversation the day before about me coming over the next day. And, you know, it's damn near 8 o'clock and I haven't heard from the person. And I have to be like, hey, it's still cool with me coming over, which is like not a problem. But there's something about like how direct and like he's the person like initiating these things all the time, and that just makes me feel good and feel wanted. So I was like, of course I'm still coming over. And then another situation kind of similar, when I went on another walk, got lost in time, and by the time I hit him, he was like out doing something, and he got back and it was like 9 o'clock. And he was like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm just getting in. I do plan to go to sleep early, but please still come if you want. And I'm like, I don't want to keep you up, because it actually takes me like an hour, 15 minutes to get over there because he's in the suburbs. And then he called me and he was like, hey, nah, you should come over. Like, I'm going to be up until at least midnight, so just come. And I don't know. Again, it sounds so simple, but I feel like I needed to be reminded that, like, you know, men can be caring and they can cook and they can, you know, make you feel wanted and constantly reassure you. And, you know, he is older. He's 31. He's older than the guys I usually date. But like, you know, it was 2 or 3 years, honestly. But that's been like one of the biggest lessons. Like, girl, don't return to that shenanigans. You got a good boo in Paris, and just use that as a model for like what you deserve. And that's why I'm podcasting, child. That's why I'm here chatting. I actually have fun. I have more to talk about Paris, but I think, you know, that was enough for now for main character stories about me. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about my favorite things next. So if you're still listening, hello and welcome. Leave me a review, y'all. Follow me on Instagram at Windy City Muse. Follow me on Twitter at Kai Stands Kai. I'm here. Like, I feel like once I start podcasting, like, your girl be in it. So I'm back. I'm excited. And please keep listening for my final segment, where I'm going to talk a little bit about my favorite things. Thank you for listening to Main Character, a solo podcast all about me. And okay, this week I have re-listened to this podcast called The Cheat Code. So I actually listened to this earlier in like pandemic 2020, and I listened, I don't even know how the fuck I found this podcast, but baby, it's juicy, and I just re-listened to it, and like, I'm totally that girl. I will re-listen to old episodes of podcasts I listen to. I watch old seasons I watch, but I re-listen, and I was just like, this is just really a fucking story to be told. So, The Cheat Code is a podcast about this couple who, I think they started in 2009, they were actually both married to other people. They met at a party, and they actually were both in a space of like yo, fuck my partner, but also we don't believe in reward in divorce. So they were trying to cheat type shit. So they pull up to this party together, and Buddy is really on some like, I'm cheating, but plot twist, his wife was currently pregnant with motherfucking twins. So he's trying to cheat because he ain't happy. She's trying to cheat because she ain't happy, but she was just more low key with it or whatever. So they meet at this party for the first time. Don't none pop off because they both married. You gotta play it cordial, whatever. They become friends on Facebook. So he liking comments or he liking statuses. She liking statuses. He responding to statuses. His wife is responding to his statuses, letting it be known that this is my nigga. I don't know what y'all got this hee-hee, kiki, giggling going on. What you got going on? So they on Facebook. They what they call hiding in plain sight. Cause they was definitely flirting. But actually at this point, all they had ever done was like, flirt a little bit at the party and find each other on Instagram. So one day, the little mama, the girl, the side piece who got her own husband, posts the picture and the man DMs her. This is the first time he ever DMed her. They had just been talking on comments and stuff. So he DMs her and he is like, hey, little mama. What he said, to put it simply, dot, dot, dot. Stunning. So she opens it. She never responds to it. They continue chatting, chatting, chatting on Facebook. Honey, I don't know what exactly happened, when exactly happened, but they decide let's meet in person. So they meet in person, but they meet up with one of old dudes. It's like a work thing for dudes. So they're meeting up. They're doing a work thing, and she was saying all these women was, flirting with him, and she was feeling a way like, dude, you're married, and you invited me out with girls who, apparently trying to get with you. So she was like, I wasn't really feeling it. Again, they both married, super casual, whatever. Somehow, some way, baby, they started getting to the flirting, to the major. All they do now is DM. They be talking about having sex, but they actually ain't never did nothing. So fast forward, honey. I think it's still 2000. It's either 2009, 2010, 11. I don't know, honey. But her husband catches her. He comes home one day and says, who is Jason Vives? And my good sis couldn't even lie. So she just had to, whatever. So he's like, baby, I want a divorce. So they get a divorce. She's moved out. She's doing her own thing, but her main boo is still married, honey. So he's still married. She got her own place. So now they got like easy creeping, easy creeping. They was creeping. Then, well, she had the babies already. Creeping, 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 creeping is the name of the game until one day. The side piece tells the husband that, hey, there's this spyware you can put on your computer to see if your wife is cheating. He's cheating, and he assumed that his wife is cheating too. So, with the spyware, he discovers that she is indeed cheating because she goes to this hotel and he catches her up, and they get into little arguments, whatever, whatever, whatever. He's still with the wife. Then Valentine's Day rolls around. He still got the spyware, so he goes in and gets this card. She got two cards made. He only got one. He gets the other card sent to the house and sees that it's basically telling some other man, I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you. So at this point, he's like, okay, cool then. If you don't want to be here, why are we doing this? But he ain't told about his side piece yet, is the whole thing. So she like basically, shit, like, I don't want to lose him because if we don't work out, what I'm gonna do then? So he's like, okay, fuck this. Still creeping, 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 creeping with his old lady. Him and his wife stay together. They, always cite the kids. They had twin little girls. They're still together. He says that him and the girls are going to go to Atlanta to celebrate his grandma's 88th birthday. as he's leaving, the girl, the wife is like, I'm coming too. I'm going to hang out with some family members when I get there. The side piece whole time was like, don't trust it. She came, of course, did not ever go to hang out with friends and family, goes through his phone and slaps him in front of his family. So his family trying to whoop her ass. So he's like, girl, you got to go home. His auntie's like, you can't make her leave right now. Let her stay. She ends up staying the whole trip. Now, side piece knows this whole thing that happened. And she's like looking at pictures on Facebook like, she looked like nothing just happened. Like, this is some crazy shit. What have I, you know, signed up for? So when they get back home, that was basically the husband's final straw. And he's like, yeah, like, I'm officially done with this shit or whatever. So, you know, they still creeping, though. They tell the story like, oh, every time it was time for him to move out, something would happen. And the wife actually did get sick and lose her job, whatever. But he eventually does move out. But when he moves out, his wife is like, well, fuck all that shit. And like, you a single daddy now. So now they used to have all this free time to creep around, and they can't creep no more because he is a full-time daddy now. He ain't got his wife to watch them kids no more. So they struggling. They no longer creeping. They whatever. But that's really what, then she meets the kids. He meets her kid. They actually are still together to this day. I was just on the Instagram. So, but it's just like a very, they're like, I don't know. I guess they're like 40 years old because they were, you know, in their 30s in 2009. But it's just such a good podcast, and like the lady is always talking, and she's like to the side pieces. Like, I think it's one of those, like, these are villains in somebody's story, but like, they're just humans. And I don't know, I listened to it a while ago, and I re-listened this week. The Cheat Code is a podcast. I listened to it on the podcast app, and honestly, it's a bop. It's just 10 episodes. It's really good music to go with them, and they're good storytellers, and they are just being honest about, like, being in situations they didn't want to be in and, you know, choosing to cheat. Like, they can't, that is just that simple. They chose to cheat, and they felt something that was right, and they are still together to this day. But that is one of my favorite things. I am back podcasting. I mean, God, I hope you love my voice. I hope you will share, like, comment, and review. I'm excited. Actually, to be heading back to Chicago, like, I'm going to be back soon. It's going to be cold, but I'm going to Ceres and Oshawa and Harold. So even though America is kind of drab, Chicago is like super fab. Okay, bye, y'all. Thanks for listening to Main Character, a solo podcast about me. Bye.